392, please. And let's stand. 392.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Sing more closely to Him who is leading
when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us, happy, how happy. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. Beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Sing the last.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day. I know it's cold. I know the winds are blowing hard, Lord, but it is. It's fresh falling snow, Lord, the beauty of the sun shining on it. It really is, Lord, and thank You for getting us here today, keeping us safe, Lord, for all that we've done this past week, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for just being in our lives, Lord, guiding and directing us all the time. Lord, you just cease to amaze me, Lord, what You do for us, and yet people won't give You credit. But, Lord, today You've sent our pastor again. Again, he has another message, Lord, that You laid in his heart. Lord, I just pray that as he delivers today, there would be something that would really hit us, Lord. Something that we can use. And Lord, especially today, if someone needs to know You, Lord, that they would get right before they leave this building today. Lord, just keep us safe, and I know You will. Thank You for our nation, Lord. I pray for the leaders that they might turn to You, Lord, for what they need. I pray, Lord, for all our infantry, Lord, that are out there keeping us safe, Lord. Our police, our fire department, everybody, Lord. I just thank You for all those that are ordained from You, Lord. Just guide and direct them, Lord, and help them as they continue to help us. Help us today, Lord. Just guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 186, please. 186.
Blood died He for me, who
anniversary is the last.
He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, empty himself of all but.
Tonight, there is no tonight. We have canceled our services for tonight. We're going to just reschedule everything up for next week, I believe. We'll see. It's in spite of the weather. We don't want anybody out traveling this mess tonight. See. So, personal evangelism is on the 18th. Iron sharpens iron is also the 18th. And these 18ths here that I'm saying, they all are subject to weather issues that we are having. Inspired Nursing Home is going to meet at 1:30 on the 20th. See, reports and the agenda items due on the 23rd for our annual business meeting, which is coming up. See, if you have anything for the March calendar, please get it into Deb by the 19th. Ballots are due on the 2nd. The nominate committee is going to meet on the 3rd at 6 o'clock. And our annual business meeting is the 12th. Pastor's thought for the week. Missionaries take God's message to multiple places. Motivated. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for getting us here again, Lord, for keeping us safe, the daily provision, Lord, all that you do for us. Lord, just be with us now as we consider a small portion back to you, Lord. We think, Lord, of what you did for us here on this earth, Lord. It's just utterly amazing. But one thing you ask is that we give just a small portion back to you, and we will today, Lord. Thank you so much for this time. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two of my girls were saying.
The microphone was set up for me at the piano, but actually the girls are singing with me and their voices are quieter, so we're going to mic them. The song we're singing is called There's a City Bright. It was written by Mary Ann Deck in 1898. And in our house, we read stories aloud a lot. And one of the books we read, was that House of Love? Christie's Old Organ. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but it was an old beggar man who, it's a made-up story to the best of my knowledge. And he played one of those wind organs, you know, you wind it and it plays a song. And it played three different songs and he ends up passing away, but he's led to the Lord before he dies, and he helps a younger beggar boy who also comes to Christ. He sends the boy on missions to go and listen to the pastor in the area and come back and tell him what he needs to know about how to get to heaven. And the boy himself doesn't know. So he goes and listens to this pastor, and he hears the message of salvation. They both come to Christ. And one of the, where was this hymn sung in it, girls? Do you remember? Was it his favorite? Or?
Yeah, his mom used to sing.
His mom used to sing this hymn to him. And anyways, a lot of these old Lamplighter ministry books have hymns in it that the main character likes to sing for comfort. So this is one that we really liked a lot.
And one of the songs on the little box was There's a City Flag.
Yeah, on the wind-up organ. Okay. Ready, girls?
And that little introduction. to add to that, just a minute, and I never want to add anything too much, but many of you may not understand, and I'm amazed, you know, that young ladies, that you were exposed to this, but we used to have a term in our culture called an organ grinder. And I'll explain that in just a little bit. But young folks, you can go downstairs. But typically, it was something like a music box that some of us older people might be more aware of. A device that had a roll in it of some kind that when you cranked it, it struck different chords and notes. And typically that organ that Autumn is talking about there, that box, stood on a single pedestal. Someone took it out into the street. And this wasn't the case here. It was used again for God's glory and to present and challenge people with the gospel. But many times also, something that was noted with an organ grinder was what? A monkey. Who said that? Yeah. Kay. And the monkey held a hat for some coins to go into that, for the compensation for going out on the street. That's one reason I've never given up my trombone, nor my hats. Anyway, hey, praise God. You know how the gospel gets into different people's hearts. And I've often said that I'm not opposed to street ministry. And I think that we maybe do it a little differently today. It's more in a situation where we meet people maybe in a store or in another setting, but there's certainly nothing wrong with preaching on the street if there's a crowd of people. And so come along. We'll do it. It can be scary, but God is there, and He'll help us. But anyway, welcome this morning to Fruitland Baptist Church. And sure, it's a winter day, but thanks be to God. You know, He's provided mercy this morning, at least, that we're able to get here. It's not that we maybe couldn't get here later today, but it is going to be fairly cool and high wind. And so we'll reconvene, Lord willing, next Sunday evening, try to accomplish what we don't get done tonight. But it's good to see a number of you that came out today. And I trust today that there will be a blessing as we look into God's Word, and that it will have profit for all of us today and will enhance our walk with the Lord, or maybe establish our walk with the Lord for someone today. We know that God's Word never returns to Him void, and so as long as we stick with the Word of God and we teach it and preach it in love, God can do anything through the power of the Holy Spirit today. And He may work in one of our lives today. We might not even have anticipated what God has prepared for us. But let me assure you, and we'll see that in our scripture text today, God has great things prepared for us. And the future is brighter than the past. Never forget that in Jesus Christ. So I hope to encourage us today from the Word. You're an encouragement to me by seeing several out this morning. But the title of our message today, oh, and there is a few things before I get to that. I would like to talk to the seniors, if you get a chance at some point, if you have some input. But here's what I'd like to see started yet this early spring, is that anyone in here that considers himself a senior, so if you're a senior in high school or a senior citizen, no, mainly it's geared toward senior citizens, I'd like to see us get our group reestablished here at Fruitland that is very easily invitable to people. But what I'd like to do is not only have a spiritual component to that, but maybe to have a time where maybe we take little short day trips or little things like that that people might enjoy doing to build some camaraderie and, again, have it centered in the Lord Jesus Christ and be something that we can offer to friends that may never come in the doors here to a service but might go to something like that, and God might be able to touch their hearts through that. So if you're interested in that, doesn't have to be a big group, but there's all kinds of options that we can have there. And that's a little ministry for seniors where we can have an opportunity to invite and also participate ourselves. So if you give me a heads up on that sometime, if you're interested, we'll try to attempt to get that going here this spring. The title of our message today is Paul's Biggest Disappointment in the Church at Corinth. And this is what it was. It was a lack of spiritual growth and maturity. So the question I have in this title for us is, God disappointed with us? We'll delve into that this morning. The key text this morning will be found in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3 with a couple small diversions. And so as we prepare our hearts to receive His Word, this also is a time when we use another W word, and that is to worship the Lord Jesus today. Basically, that can be done in many ways, but the chief thing is our heart attitude. And everything flows from the heart. So I ask this morning we take a few moments before I have a short pastoral prayer to present our hearts to the Lord today and to let Him know that we love Him, that we do believe He's worth coming today for, which He is, obviously, and that He, again, has an impact on our lives, but we would pray that He would have even more of a one today and every day as we journey through this thing called life, especially because of what we have in store in the future. We are people of hope because God is our hope. So I welcome you today if you're visiting or you've been here for your whole life. We're glad that you're here. There's a purpose. And I pray today that that'll be found through the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. So let's take just a few moments today to silently commune with God. I'll have a short prayer and we'll hit the ground running. But welcome to one and all. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, thank You once again today for a day of Your grace and benevolence that's been manifested towards us. We thank You, Lord, as we see Your handiwork today, and we praise You for it. We thank You for it. We see Your handiwork in the weather, the cold. Lord, You know exactly what we need, and we thank You that You are perfectly in control of all things that take place. We ask today, Lord, again, that You would change and convict our hearts, Lord, where that needs done, but also give us comfort and reassurance, Lord, of Your plan in our lives. Help us, Lord, to seek Your face. And Lord, I believe this with all my heart. You are worthy of all of our praise and all and more than we can ever give. Thank you for being a good God. Your goodness is ever present with us. Thank you again, too, Lord, for your patience with us and your mercy and grace. Lord, we struggle, but I pray today, Father, we will trust you and we will look and keep our eyes focused on the end of the race and the outcome, Lord, as we confront and deal with those things, Lord, that are in the pathway before us today. Strengthen us, Lord, I pray, and give us endurance to run the race and, Lord, to have patience while we do it, yet with joy. Now, I thank you today, Lord, for everyone that's come today to gather. And we thank you that that is what the church is. It is not a building, but it is a gathering of the believers chiefly. But, Lord, there may be some here today, that's always a possibility, that have never placed their faith and trust in you and believed on your name for salvation. If that's the case, there's no mistake that they're here today. That's always the message that we have underpinning everything we do. Lord, in many cases, we're like the church at Corinth. We have a commonality in humanity, our brokenness, our sinful propensity, Lord. Help us in our struggles with that, I pray today. Lord, we pray for our community that is outside of our walls. Help us, Lord, to be proactive, to go out there to meet them and confront them with your love and your grace and mercy. We pray, Lord, that even our gathering here today might be a testimony to people as they drive by, and that they might say, maybe I need to go there and see what they do. Lord, help us to be attractive in that way to our community that says we have open doors and we have loving hearts here toward those that may wonder about that. Strengthen, Lord, this church. Strengthen the ministries that it has. And Lord, I pray you would strengthen all of us as individuals that make this church up to make us strong and mighty for you as we are in your mission field on a daily basis. Now, Lord, we also pray for those that cannot be here today. Some are elderly and infirm. Others, Lord, may be struggling with spiritual issues, emotional issues. Lord, it's just unknown to all of us what might be going on in the hearts of people. But Lord, we pray again that you would work in their midst today. And Lord, for this message as it goes out over the internet, that it would be used to those that may be listening. And Lord, that again, we would have a contact with them at some point where we can once again see them assimilated into the personal work here at Fruitland, which is the local body of Christ. Lord, others may be suffering from illnesses and age. Lord, today I raise those folks up to you, and we just pray once again, Lord, you'd come alongside and comfort them and strengthen them. Now, Lord, I ask today as well that you'd speak to my heart through this message, and Lord, that you would again help us to not leave here and have a hard heart toward you, but to accept that what Paul taught to the church at Corinth may very likely be what is in the hearts of this work here at Fruitland. Lord, that we have plateaued in some ways, that we have not continued to grow in your word and in your ways. Lord, if we need chastisement, may it be the case. But also, Lord, may there be encouragement here today that we would get this right. I really do believe, Lord, that that is the essence of why all churches may struggle. When we cease to grow and we become complacent and satisfied, Lord, with the milk of your word rather than chewing on the meat. Now, Lord, as you know, I'm the weak link in all this. I always am. I always probably will be, Lord. It's a very big challenge to even come up before people and to speak the word. Help me, Lord, to rightly divide it today as I preach it. And it's only by your grace and mercy once again that I am able to do that today for your honor and glory. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. Cleanse me. Help me, Lord, to deliver this in a way that is pleasing to you and is usable through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Friends in Christ, have you considered how God looks upon us as his children? What do you think goes through the mind of God when he sees me or you or all of us combined as the local church today? As I mentioned in the prayer to the Lord, I am thankful he has grace and mercy in abundance for us. But what does he think? Well, that's a good question to ponder on. Because like many of us, as we consider our own children or when we are children of our parents, I'm sure we have brought them at many times grief and disappointment. But I also think in God's grace and mercy, He is willing and will suffer with us to see us change and to become different and to become more like Him. Oh Lord, may our prayer be that You'd separate us from the ways of the world and the ways of Satan and would bring us into a new spiritual walk that is not plateaued but is growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm speaking today to those of us who profess to be saved by God's love and grace through faith in particular. But have you ever considered all that all He has given us and how little we have accomplished toward it? When I begin to look at my life, I see deficiencies. I see a lot of things that could have been done differently. I see a guy here that is beginning to come into the later days of life. Many of you in this room are in that same situation, even though none of us know when our lives may be taken. But we know that as the years go by, there's much that should have been done, there's much that could have been done, but there's much that hasn't been done. Can we agree on that this morning, brothers and sisters? It's a fact of life, it's a fact of the broken world, but folks, it does not have to be. And God will help us to overcome that. Have you ever considered, though, how much He has given us and how little we have accomplished toward the good things that He has done? Why is our walk with the Lord not more robust in many cases? Well, I could sit here and give you a litany of all those reasons, and they would all be valid reasons. But the plain truth of it is, folks, it's because we've allowed that to happen in our lives and conversely in our church. There are reasons, but they are not really good reasons. In many cases, they are excuses and they are negligence on our part, and that's all we can simply say about that. So surely we, and for sure I, am a disappointment to God. I may also be a disappointment to you at times as your pastor. Well, bear with me, please. And sometimes I think we can legitimately say, not only to God, but to each other, we can be disappointing. The question of all this is, as we go into our text today, is how may we learn from the believers at Corinth and Paul, who was God's founder and perfecter of many of these works, churches? Paul founded Corinth. Paul was away for a while. He was with them for a while. He actually wrote the book of 1 Corinthians from the church at Ephesus when he was planting there. And what Paul was operating on with some of the words that he penned here in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians for that matter as well, he was operating on the reports that he got from the church as to what the condition was and what was going on there. And sadly, in many cases, in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is not coming back in a way that is well pleased toward what had been taking place in this church that he had helped to plant. He was addressing some of these things. He had high hopes for these churches. He had high hope for the church at Corinth. And so what can we believe? What can we gain as believers from what Paul experienced there with the church at Corinth? He also had the idea there that he'd communicated to them that there is no reason we should not be able to receive the blessings and the benevolence of God and the good things that He has there for us. And I believe this today, folks. It's certainly there for the taking. And it certainly can be obtained. And we have no reason to think that it cannot. It's a blessed walk that He promises to us. That's the Lord Jesus. And Paul, again, saw no reason that Corinth could not have it. And he encouraged them toward that. I see the same thing for myself. And I see the same thing for Fruitland Baptist Church. There is no reason that we cannot be the recipients of multiple manifold blessings from Almighty God. So let's look today for some answers to this question this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians, that we may know that we no longer would be a disappointment to the Lord. There's three R's today that I'd like to bring to you. It's very simple to jot down, and if any of you ever would like a copy of the message, I'll surely give that to you. I can send it to you. There's actually four R's to be exact about it, but they're pretty basic and pretty simple to retain, and I believe they will be a help to us today, but I'm always glad to send this to you via text and so forth if you would like a copy of that, or we can ask, and Deb will get one too, or I will at some point after the services. But the first place I'd like to go today is what Paul was addressing to Corinth. And this is found in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 through 9. And the first thing that Paul did is he wrote this letter after he had been informed of some of the things that were going on there that were not necessarily the things that should have been going on there. And in some cases were terrible things that went on there. And yes, the church and people's lives is a place where terrible things can happen. You know, we have an adversary called Satan who, you know, he promulgates these things in our lives and they can turn into very tragic events and in the life of the church. But Paul began his discourse here to the church at Rome with a reminder to Corinth of God's provision and his faithfulness. I'd like to begin with that this morning in verses 1 through 9 of 1 Corinthians 1. And I appreciate this writing that Paul did here. He wanted to encourage the church to remain on the pathway that he had set by Almighty God, that he had ordained, and that they would consider where they've been. Now, we learned in our Inquisitors class this morning from the Israelites, and soon after they crossed the Red Sea and were headed into the wilderness on the path to the Promised Land, they wanted to turn around and go back. Paul is giving us this morning some reminders why we should not turn back and why we need to go forward trusting God. Let's look at those briefly here in verses 1 through 9. Paul says this. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the way, the word apostle means sent one, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Sanctified means separated unto God. That's simply what that is. By the way, folks, God calls on believers to be separated and devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be separated from the ways of the world and the ways of wickedness and the ways that Satan would have us to be. The name there is used, in fact, in that second verse by Paul, and he calls believers saints. Now, we know there is a lot of conjecture about that, what that word saint means, but technically today, if you're born again here in this congregation, you could legitimately go up to someone and say, good morning, Saint Kay. Good morning, Saint Kim. Good morning, Saint Marlon. But saint just means one who has been endorsed by God as holy, not from our own holiness, but by from the holiness that God has imputed to us, the righteousness through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the point of this is not to get into all kinds of terms and everything, but folks, we are in a great position because of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that today? Do you even realize it? There could be some that have never heard even these terms, and they think, well, that's a churchy term. No, it's not. It's a God term. He's redeemed us and drawn us to himself, and he has a special appointment for us in the things that he has laid in our pathway. Called to be saints, by the way, called of God, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Folks, we live in a day when many people, and I've said this too, the church seems very weak today, but let me tell you what. If the church gets on fire as God's called people, it is a force to be reckoned with. It is a force that cannot be defeated. And that, my friends, is where we need to be today. We need to be loving one another. We need to be walking with the Lord, and we need to let him do mighty things through us that he will and can do. And then Paul says in his salutation, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's probably where John MacArthur gets his greetings when he preaches. Grace to you, right? If you ever have listened to him. But Paul shows us here again what a lofty place we're at. Church, do we believe that this morning? Are we discouraged? If we are, we should not be. We are God's called. We are here, and he will equip us to do the things he has called us to do. Verse 4. Paul says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. By the way, folks, we only operate as God's church through his grace. That's the only connection we have, my friends. It's through God's grace and love that's been shed upon us, not by anything that we have done. And Paul goes on to say that in what? Everything you are enriched by him in all utterance or speaking and in all knowledge. Folks, do you realize today that we are rich in Jesus Christ? So let me ask you something, friends. Why do we go around acting like paupers? We're rich in the abundance of the King, folks. We're rich in the power of the King. We need to lift our heads up and not let them hang low. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, let me tell you something today. I intend to preach on the spiritual gifts. We taught about them in our Inquisitors class here a while back, and we explored that. But I believe I'll have a message on that at some point if the Lord allows it. But folks, we have every gift from God in the people that make up Fruitland Baptist Church, in the believers, to see this church not only exist, but to see it thrive. And that's what Paul is telling Corinth. He says, it's all there. We just have to figure it out and do what God says and use those gifts. That's what the body of Christ is for, by the way, in part, a place to exercise the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God gives us. If we will do that, he says, you are not behind in any gift. You have it. And the point here is that we ought to be exercising it as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, God confirms us daily if we'll allow it. His Spirit through the Word confirms that He loves us. You may be here this morning doubting that God loves you, but my friends, if you explore your life, you will see God never stops loving you if you are one of His. There are times, though, that we stop loving Him. And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Paul sums up this introduction here as he reminds Corinth of what we have. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, we are all separated in some ways, but yet we are all connected to one another as believers. And Paul's thankfulness for Corinth's grace, enrichment, the testimony for Jesus Christ, and this recipient being of the gifts that he gave, and the confirmation of the blamelessness through Christ and his calling, and faithfulness and fellowships and fellowship were reasons of encouragement and growth ahead as they looked forward to the things that God had in store for that church. The thing I'd like to conclude with on that first point is this, that we tend not to think is the case maybe in our day. But the environment in Corinth, despite its shortcomings, was an environment, once again, for growth. But the problem was, they denied it. I want us to understand this after this first point. The environment for growth exists at Fruitland Baptist Church, unless we deny it. It's very simple. We have all these same promises right here. Let's run the race. Let's do it the way the Lord wants us to, knowing that He's got our back. He's given us everything we need and more. The second point this morning, again with the R theme today, it's called alliteration. But Paul now talks about his responsibility to Corinth of delivering the gospel. Not only the responsibility that he had, but the responsibility that was conveyed by him through the power of God on that group of believers at Corinth. And folks, they were struggling. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we're going to park on this for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul is going to digress into this a little bit. Paul's mission again was faith at Corinth, for them to be brought into under the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not enough. And folks, that's a lot of things that happen with people today. And it could be the case with someone here this morning. Please excuse me once again. I knew I shouldn't have drank that coffee or eaten that bread. I know better, but it was so good. Anyway, the mission again that God gives is for people to be saved. And yes, that extricates us from the power of Satan and hell in eternal consequences, but that's not enough. What Paul was telling the church at Corinth was this: we need to be in a pattern of growth. We're not necessarily talking numerics. He is talking about spiritual growth. And folks, the way we'll see that in just a few minutes here, but what Paul saw at Corinth, he saw people that never grew. He tells us later in chapter 3, which will be one of our points, I came here and started this church. I taught you the milk of the Word, the basic principles of the Word of God. But now I hear these reports, and it says, you still are just recycling yourself. You're not growing in Christ. You're not growing because you resist the accountability of growing in the Word. Now, granted, in that day, we did not have the New Testament. And it was verbally given through Paul, the teaching. But even through the Old Testament, the picture of Jesus Christ, the picture of the mission that was given from the disciples and so forth, which I do believe they had some of this at Corinth, the history, at least in the verbal sense, they were not listening to that. Yes, people at Corinth were saved, but that's as far as it got. They kept it simple. They did not stretch themselves. They were not looking to the future with faith and what God could do in their lives and through the lives that they touched. Let's take a look at the text this morning. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. In other words, Paul came and told it like it was. He loved the people there, but he admits himself here, which I don't know. I never heard Paul speak, but from his writings, I think he was able to handle himself when he spoke. But Paul did not come to them with some kind of an air about himself. He came in the power and in the mission of Jesus Christ to Corinth. He didn't come with, you know, silver-tongued oratory skills, but he could do the job. And what he was declaring was not about himself. He was declaring the testimony of God in his life. You can think back to where Paul had been on the road to Damascus. He was a guy that persecuted the church. He was a guy that was headed for hell. But Jesus helped him to see the light on the road to Damascus. And that's the power and might that Paul had received. By the way, Paul, nominally being a Jew, you would have thought he would have been used to reach the Jews. But they didn't really want anything to do with him. He did reach some Jews in his ministry, but he was primarily the missionary to the non-Jewish world. Isn't that fantastic? And that was the case with the church at Corinth. Notice here in verse 2 what Paul says, For I am determined not to know anything among you except or save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul's mission to Corinth was to deliver the gospel, the life-changing gospel, to sinners in need of salvation. And I was with you, he said in verse 3, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In other words, Paul said, this challenge when I was sent here by God to Corinth, and you can read about that. Corinth was reached on his second missionary journey. I believe, if my memory is correct, he wrote on his third missionary journey this letter back to the church at Corinth, again, after he'd heard things that were going on. But Paul was just like anyone else is, that is called to do something for the Lord. It's scary. And Paul felt that way. It's the way we always feel when we stand for the Lord Jesus. Even though we know we have Him, we have a boldness that we can have in Him, it's a scary thing. And Paul says, And my speech and my preaching was not without enticing words of man, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, what Paul did, he didn't go there to try to win them with a silver tongue. He went there and he presented the gospel, and the Holy Spirit won the people through the presentation of the gospel. That's Holy Spirit power, folks. That's what we lack today. Let yourself go and let the Spirit get a hold of you. Great things can be accomplished if we'll let ourselves go and let God and go with things His way. Notice he says, of the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, why did Paul, what probably in human thinking would have been a better way to reach these Greek folks at Corinth? You know, when we think about the Greeks, I put my hand up, I don't have a goatee to stroke, but we think they were wise people. They evaluated people by how smart they were, or how smart they perceived them to be. By the way, Paul he was a sharp cookie, let me tell you. But he didn't go there and try to win them with words or win them with wisdom that came from human strength. He went there in the power of God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Paul goes on, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," it says in the King James Version. He's talking here to the believers in this verse at Corinth, "yet not the wisdom of this world." He's talking about the people that were saved there, "nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." He said, this is spiritual stuff. I'm speaking, and I spoke to people that got saved at Corinth that should be maturing. By the way, that's what God wants. I think I've already said this before. He wants us all to be saved, but He wants us to be growing. Yeah. This is a big misnomer, my friends, in our current day church. Get saved and it's all good. Well, yes it is. But God wants more. We should want more. See? And that's where we're at with a lot of this. Paul goes on, he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." What Paul's talking about there is the church. He's saying exactly what God did with those that were saved here at Corinth. I'm speaking to you the mysteries of God that you now have. A mystery is something that was previously unknown, but now has been revealed. Folks, we're living almost 2,000 years into the church age. In case you didn't know it, yeah, I know the church is not well thought of in many circles today, but we are blessed with the power of God that has a history, you see, and it's called the local church, my friends. And Paul saw that there at Corinth. He says, the church is a privileged thing. It's a wonderful thing, especially when it operates the way God would have it to operate, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, Jesus came to save, but people put him on the cross because of his goodness. They didn't understand him. People don't understand us today. But folks, we stand in the same stead as Paul. We must be there. It's our responsibility to deliver the gospel in love to people around us. It was Paul's mission of faith. But read this in verse 9. "But as it is written," I alluded to this earlier, "eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Do you believe that this morning, brothers and sisters? We can't even fathom what God will do if we'll let him work through us. It's that simple. It really is. It's unlimited. God can do all things. With God, nothing shall be impossible. "But God has revealed these things to them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Folks, to cut to the chase on this text, you can't know God until you're saved. In totality. You can know Him enough as the Spirit reveals Him and your neediness before Him and His sufficiency. But this comes back to this pattern that Paul's addressing here at Corinth. There's a lot more there to be had than what most people want to get. And that's what's important here. The Spirit will show us all these things about God and more if we will let Him. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Folks, what we miss out on has been there for the taking all the time. We're missing out on the good stuff. "Which things also we speak," verse 13, "not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." My friends, if we'll dig into the fully revealed Word of God today that's before us, we will be taught by the Holy Spirit, and it's a guarantee that we will grow. The Word is alive. It is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. It will change us. It will show us. It will lead us. It will empower us to be on track with God. It will cause us to change from a basic Christian to a vibrant Christian. Amen? Why not get the whole deal if we're going to get it? It's like when you go to a restaurant. I've been getting these coupons from McDonald's. Any of the rest of you? I don't eat there a lot, but it's a buy one, get one thing. If you go back, You fill out this code, you call it in, you get some numbers. I should have had my billfold up here. But it's a buy one, get one, and it's only sandwiches that it covers. But you know what? Let's face it. When you pull up to the McDonald's drive-in or you go inside, is it really just a sandwich that you want? Why not get the full meal? Right? Absolutely. Even though I have done that, I've just gotten along with two sandwiches because I paid for one and get one free. I drink water. There's no charge for that. And it's better for my physical health. But the point is, you and I both know, when I go, I'd rather have the Big Mac meal than just a Big Mac. Why is it we resist that with God? Let's give the whole deal. He's ready to give us. Obviously, though, the warning goes out here to the believers there at Corinth about the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 14, he explains. He says, but the natural man, that's the unredeemed man, does not receive these things of the Spirit of God. Oh, is there a difference between humanity? Yes, there is, folks. We all have a commonality, but when we're born again in Christ, we become a new creation. See, we are now able to be used and taught and grown in the Holy Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto the natural man. Neither can he know them because they are, get it here, class, spiritually discerned. This book, our preaching, the things that we do to people who are apart from Jesus Christ, in many cases will seem like foolishness. We will seem like fools to them because it's only the Spirit that can turn people on to the truths of God's Word. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. We could make a whole message off that verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Answer to that, no one. But Paul says we have the mind of Christ. He's told us how to get closer to him, how things work. We can have the full deal through Jesus Christ. Paul had a responsibility to Corinth of delivering the gospel. Paul's mission of faith, again, then, was to see them come to maturity in Christ. Good things and in the depth of God that are revealed by the Spirit through his word. Paul completed later his written word. But Philippians 2:5 tells us that we can have the mind of Christ if we seek it through the teaching of the Spirit, through the Word. Page 2. Third R, Paul's reprimand to Corinth. This is very short, very sweet. I've already alluded to it, and it's the whole basis of this message today. By the way, if you read on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I maybe need to come to you, in the King James it says, with a rod. Paul, you know... Well, we won't go there this morning. But maybe the Holy Spirit needs to take a rod to a lot of us. You remember the story when I chased Mark and Greg to the steel mill. Well, we don't have time for that today, Alicia. Maybe we need a trip to the steel mill too. Sometime I'll share that with you when we have more time. We're short on time this morning. Paul reprimanded Corinth. And if we need reprimanded here today, take it. And run with it, not from it. Here's what Paul said. And I, brethren, he's talking to believers here at Corinth. He's talking to people that are dead in the water. Yes, they're born again, and that's all they've done. They're treading water. They're not getting ahead. You don't have to reveal it to me, but could all of us at times probably say, I'm in that mode, Lord? You know it already, Lord. I'm treading water. I'm not getting ahead in this. It's because we will not allow the Lord to take over our lives and to be immersed in the Word and through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. Paul was disappointed. Isn't that the point of our whole message? He says, I've been gone from you for a period of time, and yet what I'm hearing, and when I do come back to you, I know that I'm going to continue to have to speak to you as carnal. What's that word carnal mean? Fleshly. Yeah. Paul says, you haven't grown. You still have a heart based in the fleshly things, not in the things of the Spirit. He says, but as unto carnal. And then he does this. He calls them what? He calls them babes in Christ. But here's what I really think he was saying, folks. You bunch of babies. There was a certain guy in Wilton. He's still alive, so I can't use any names. But when my mom would see this guy or we'd talk about him, she'd say, he's just a big baby. What do you think God thinks of us? What's he think about John Brown? He's just a big baby. He's messing around with all kinds of things, and he's not growing in me. And folks, if you have thinking at Fruitland that we need help, that's where the help's going to come from. When we quit being a bunch of babies, and we desire to start eating, I don't know what babies eat today, Gerbers yet, is that? I have to tell you, there's certain of those dessert things, I could probably eat that baby food. But when it came to the purified peas, Alicia, it didn't appeal to me. But folks, we need to go for the steak. We can chew it. Sometimes, some of us might be able to chew it faster than others. But the point is, quit going for the baby food. Some of us in our lives in this room this morning, we're working on tough things in life. Yeah, it's tough, folks. But you know what? When we eat the good food, it'll make us strong. You want to be strong in Christ? Eat your meat. Paul goes on, he says, you bunch of babies. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Kim and I have discussed this a little. I know I got to get done here this morning. But when you'd have a sick lamb or a sick pig, or a sick calf, you would try to baby them, to nurse them along, to get them to recover. But folks, the truth of the matter is, there comes a point with all those situations when you have to say what? They're either going to what? They're going to make it or they're not going to make it. Maybe that's the case with some of us. Jesus still loves us, but he wants us to get better. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. But here's what Paul says, and you still can't, but you should. For you are yet carnal. You haven't progressed. You're still living in the flesh. For whereas there is among you, these are the things that will show us that we're not spiritually mature. And this was Corinth. And folks, this is the condition of most of the churches today in our world, I believe. We're a bunch of babies. Notice what Paul says. There's envying, there's strife, there's divisions, and ye are not carnal. And are ye not carnal and walk as men? I'm not going to answer that for you. I think I have. You know my opinion on that. And I include myself in it. But I think that's the answer to where we're at today, folks. I don't know what you think. He goes on to describe that, and you can read on in the text, which we won't this morning. He says, for one says, I'm of Paul, another of Apollos. Are you not yet carnal? You bunch of kids. You bunch of big babies. You're here fighting over things that aren't even worth a hill of beans about who does this and who did that. He says, you better get into the real issues in your life, the issues that really matter, and that's the issues of your walk and how you, again, are used of God. It's important stuff. You make no progress because you are not growing, and it's shown in our actions. That's the key to this point. When Paul reprimanded the church, he said, it's plain as day. You folks are just monkeying around. Get going. Last point. The resolution of our problem with maturity. Quickly, back to the book of Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Now, some of you may disagree with me. We could start a church split about who wrote the book of Hebrews. But we'll do that a different time, because it's time to get going, right? In more ways than one. Not only time to go and have dinner, or lunch, if you prefer, but it's time we get going and grow. Get time to get going and eat some meat, chew on some meat. Now, the debate that I allude to here is that some people believe that Paul was the writer of the whole book of Hebrews. Others say, no, it was someone else. I'll tell you what I believe, and I don't really care what you think. Some of you don't think much of me anyway. I believe Paul wrote part of it, including the part we're going to read this morning, and someone else wrote the rest of it. But bottom line, it's holy writ. The stuff that is going to be presented here in Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, sounds just like Paul. So let's look at it and we're done. Wherefore, Paul says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. By the way, what Paul's talking about, he said there have been people, and there are people today that are running the race with faith. They're chewing on the meat. They're working on the tough things. They're experiencing the blessings and glory of God because of it in maturity. He says, we're in the presence of these type of people and those that have gone on before. If you don't believe that, go back one chapter. It's the Great Hall of Faith. These were people that were not big babies. They had chewed the tough meat. He says this, is the recipe. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's very simple what Paul says. Let the baggage go, get to the core thing, and begin to grow. Your whole perspective will be changed. The perspective of a church corporately will be changed. There it is. Notice what he says then, and I do believe this was Paul, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Some translations use the word the founder and perfecter of our faith. By the way, didn't I use that term with the Apostle Paul when I started this message? Paul founded and he tried to perfect or complete the work at Corinth with good teaching. Jesus is doing that with us. He founded and perfected his church in totality, and he wants to see it done right. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Don't look to the pastor, even though you should. The pastor ought to be in line with Jesus. Don't look at others and say, well, I don't think the deacons are very spiritual. I don't think my... Lighten up a little bit, folks. But the point is, don't look at your wife or your husband or someone else. Well, they're not very spiritual. Look to yourself. Look to yourself after you look at Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him... Notice that, joy. By the way, if I could do a joy poll this morning, I wonder how many people would admit to that if you're joyful today. You caught me on a good day today, I'm joyful. It's like I told the kindergarten or the first graders when I had them this week for a day or two. We sang the song, if you're happy and you know it, show your teeth. Of course, most of them had no teeth, Woodrow. Show your teeth. If you're in the meat of the word, yeah, it's going to be tough, but you know what? You'll have joy. You tell me how many people are joyful today. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be what? Weary and faint in your minds, or a big baby. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Folks, we've had it easy. Haven't we? Let's dig into the meat. You can read the rest of this discourse. But I should never kick my leg back. The resolution of our problem with maturity is found right there in those four verses in Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. And it's simply said this way, it's get into the word and into the work. It's high time we get on a forward-minded journey with Jesus. And stop what? Disappointing him. Forgive me, Lord. There is so much more out there for the taking and the giving. Wherever you are today, you can dedicate yourself to move forward. That might mean for someone in this room salvation. I don't know where all of you are at spiritually, but you do. Maybe today you need Jesus. You need to get set on this course by faith alone in Him. Or for the saved, it might be the walk that you're on today. Maybe your eyes have been diverted. Maybe you have a nominal interest or less in God's Word and in growing in Him. Folks, if you'll put forth the effort, you'll be grown. You'll be changed. You'll be dynamic. Whatever the case might be in your life, we need to see it affected today. It will make a difference in your life. And folks, most importantly, it'll make a difference in the life of the Lord's church. We want to see a healthy, strong, meat-devouring church growing in Christ with the potential for the future that is none but great. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 185. As Paul gave us those attributes of God that affected the church at Corinth, we also are recipients of that. Remember, Jesus paid this all for us, and He'll see us through to the end. Let's make a commitment today, maybe as a church if you're led that way, but certainly ourselves, to walk with Him, to tackle the tough things, to put Him and His Scriptures as a high priority in our life, and be changed from a bunch of big babies into people that by God's grace will mature in Him. Thank you, Autumn, for your statement of faith on that. Jesus paid it all. Don't be afraid to go to Jesus today. You're welcome to come forward too. I'm going to pray with you, and I need people to pray with me. We need to get going with this and quit fooling around. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Remember, Jesus did this. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Stanza four. Maybe someone today will make a movement to the Lord in your seat. Today, maybe you'll confess to Him and say, "You know what? Paul told it right to Corinth, and he's telling that to me. I'm just a big baby. I need to be under the meat of God's Word. I need to be growing. That's what's lacking in our church and in my life." Well, listen, folks. Jesus paid it all, and He's willing to give you the blessings that He's ordained for those that will walk with Him. Stanza four, you move today. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Remember, Jesus is open every day, all day. He's waiting to hear from us. Doug, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us. I'm going to pray with the one that's come forward. If I don't get to greet you today, have a blessed day in the Lord till we meet again, either here, there, or in the air. But it's serious business, friends. May the Lord help us today. Doug?
Dear Lord, thank you so much that you did pay it all for us. That you wanted us to follow you and show our appreciation for you and be focused and all out for you and pray that you would take this message that you shared about the cross of Paul. Be fully committed to go away with you.
Amen. Yeah.